Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I hope that you're all well and staying healthy as winter slowly comes to a close. I've been really excited about the launch of this new series, Leaving a Legacy, All About Men. In interviewing woman after woman on their life accomplishments, their feelings, and their emotions, I really realized that men are almost always ignored in the mix. I began to think about how both women and the rest of the world don't really tune into the true and tender thoughts that men hold and that they rarely express. So this series came to fruition. It is a series that is eight weeks long that will pilot every week a different man on a different subject. My intention is to both give men a forum to get raw and real, and for the listeners, both men and women, to acknowledge that men, like women, need to be seen and heard and viewed as both spiritual and emotional beings. Today, I'm really both very honored and excited to introduce a very special guest, my first male guest in this series, Victor Levis. Believe this or not, we went to high school together in Montreal, Canada, over 30 years ago. We graduated in 1974, and I hadn't seen or heard from anything from him until only a few months ago when he requested my friendship, of course, on none other than Facebook. This is actually a very heartwarming story. I was both shocked and surprised to hear from him. We began corresponding back and forth when I already began to realize and notice in my mind that he was almost like a dinosaur. His family story was so solid and so real. We continued corresponding as I witnessed our emails becoming quite effortless, intimate, and so honest. We were sharing candid stories about our families and our experiences. I learned that his parents were from Greece and they had immigrated to Canada and stayed married for over 54 years until his father recently passed. I also learned that he married his teenage sweetheart as well and is still married to this same woman, who, of course, would be both his soulmate and best friend. They have three beautiful young adult children, two sons and a daughter, who are all thriving and on track, living towards their life purpose. They still travel together as a family, do family dinners, and are lovingly and intimately connected. Almost every correspondence that Victor and I had seemed to read through with the same message, which came through to me very loud and clear, that his family and family continue to be his lifetime priority and value, one that he both owns and cherishes and is so lovingly passing down to his beautiful children. Victor is an accountant and a controller working for an apparel company in Montreal, Canada. He knew his wife as a young child and even read her Green Eggs and Ham, believe this or not, when they were just young kids. He graduated university with a degree in accountancy and economics and has worked in the fashion industry ever since. His relationships run deep. They are meaningful, reliable, and consistent. One thing I learned about him from the onset, he is not a man who wastes his time with people whose intentions are either frivolous and or not genuine. A really quite personal story, actually, when we recently reconnected. It was my daughter's engagement party, and I was heading to Montreal, and my daughter and I were on the phone, and she said to me, "Mom, you really need to invite him. We'd love to meet him." And so we did actually have our high school reunion, and we did reconnect just recently at my daughter's engagement party in Montreal. So really, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce and bring on Victor. So today what we're going to do is the subject we're really going to talk about is the legacy of family. What we bring into our family, what our parents gift us, what we teach our children, and what we hope and plan to leave behind once we pass the torch on to them. So, Victor, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm so happy to be on with you, Linda.
Wow, you sound really clear right now. How do I sound?
You sound pretty clear.
Great. Just before we were getting on, everyone, we were having a little bit of technical difficulties. Ironically, I happen to be in Toronto. I'm normally in LA. So we're actually quite closer than we normally are. And we were all having trouble hearing each other, all three of us in Canada. So I thought that was really quite fun. And anyway, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been really so looking forward to this. I wanted to just ask you, when we first connected on Facebook, and I could see right away that the intention was for us to, of course, more than just reconnect. All our conversations were so much about family. So I wanted to really start with the first question and ask you about yourself growing up. I know that you, whatever you'd like to share, I know that you learned a lot from your dad, and he seemed to really be quite a pillar in your family. So if you want to just share what you'd like to with all the listeners on how you came to be the way you are, which I know there's a connection.
Well, my father called himself a Greconym, at least in his later years. He spent 28 years in each of three countries, in Greece, where he was born and raised, in Canada, where he acquired a family, and then in the U.S., where he was in his later working years and then retired years. And, he was a pillar in the life of both myself and my brother, and married to my mother for 54 years. She decided she loved him before she met him. Somehow she saw a picture of him and a bio of him, and she was working in the Jewish Immigration Aid Society office. And when he got off the boat and train and came into the office, she was waiting for him, and he had no chance.
Oh, so sweet. Wow.
So it's kind of an interesting story of its own. So
well,
we grew up in Côte Saint-Luc.
Right.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
We grew up in Côte Saint-Luc, which was a suburb of Montreal, quite a large Jewish population at that time, probably still today. And I was, I guess, about 8 or 9 when we moved a little closer to the city. And my father was working both as an engineer and a builder. So he was busy a lot, and he would tend to come home a little bit late, 7, 8 o'clock every night. Sometimes we would usually wait to have dinner with him, and maybe more so when we were 7, 8 years old and up. But Friday night dinners were like a staple with my grandparents. His parents lived in a basement apartment in our house.
Mm-hmm.
There was an earthquake in Greece in 1955, and he had just moved to Canada, and my grandparents' house had been destroyed, and he just brought him to Canada to stay with him for the rest of their years.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived downstairs from us, and they were like built-in babysitters and substitute parents as well.
Okay. There you go. So I'm not surprised at that. So you had the beauty of not only your own parents, but your grandparents too, which I know, you know, our nationality is Jewish. And culturally, I know that there are still a lot of cultures that are still so connected, yet so many of us are disconnected and fragmented from our families, which is
amazing. And actually,
amazing.
It's funny. Not only the grandparents from my father's side, but actually, as it turned out, I had 7 grandparents.
Wow.
My father's parents, my mother's parents divorced before I was born, but they both remarried wonderful people. And so I had 4 grandparents there.
Wow.
My grandmother's second marriage lasted 50 years.
Wow.
And then I had my great-grandmother. My grandmother, my mother's grandmother, who I was 15 when she passed away, so I remember her well. So I had 7 grandparents.
Wow, what it must have been like for you growing up. That must have been just so amazing. Was everyone just so involved in your life? Did you have any space?
Well, we had a pretty big house, fortunately, but
okay.
All our friends sort of came through our house. Ours was the clearinghouse. My brother was in a band. They played in one of the rooms in our house. Our friends, we were playing with our friends. It was usually, you know, I'd say 75% of the time, our house.
Wow. So when we really talk about legacy, there you go. It's just so obvious to me when we started corresponding back and forth on Facebook that this was something that you had naturally, which I must say that there are so many disconnected families today, and unfortunately mine as well, not, you know, by my mom, late mom's intention. That's, I guess, kind of just the way that it happened. And when we talk about legacy, that's, you know, that's one thing, and that was really the impetus of my series, is it's pretty much, you know, the word legacy defines itself. It's what's passed on from an ancestor or a predecessor to the next generation, whether it's a gift, mm-hmm. a value, or whatever that is. When, you know, you think about managing your own family now that you have 3, you know, young adult children that are now, as we both have spoken, you know, dating, choosing their own mates and starting to merge off. What type of strategies do you use, and how do you find yourself handling and coping with all the change and holding your family together so well, as from what I can see and hear? Have you managed to do
that?
Well,
I hope it's as well as it sounds, because there are ups and downs as well.
Unless you're telling me little fibs, it's, you know, of course, they're always that.
No, but I think overall we're very proud of them. And, you know, it's, we try to teach them things, but to be honest with you, I'm also learning things from my kids. That's one thing that's amazed me in the last few years. A lot of the people of our generation sort of get sad when their kids get older. Oh, we wish we had them little again. And I actually enjoy this time of our lives, that they're older and they're not little things we boss around, and they have a mind of their own and a character of their own, and they can relate to you and they can teach you stuff. So we just try to stay around each other a lot. That's one thing I'd like them to know, is that we don't want them running off to be with their friends. We want our house to be a place that will welcome their friends, and we want them to feel that they can bring their friends into the house. And I think that's something I learned maybe from when I was younger. Not something that my wife had in her house, unfortunately, but she certainly bought into it, and we enjoy
that
interaction with our kids.
That's great. That was my next question that I was going to ask you, is, you know, if Risa, your wife, had the same similar experiences, right? Because, you know, very often that's what happens, but yet how could you not benefit and learn something so great from this, you know, just by seeing it's all love generated, right? Unconditional acceptance. Do your kids go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Well, I met Risa when she was 4. I was almost 7, whatever. We were about 2 years apart. And I met her older brother first. We became friends, and this was like my good friend's younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I knew, I don't know why, maybe around when she was 13, I think I sort of realized that she was going to be my friend for life.
Wow.
And I did have one or two other reasonably serious relationships. We had moved away from Côte Saint-Luc. She was still there, so we didn't see each other that much for a couple of years during high school, and I was three grades ahead of her.
Okay.
So when you're in grade 11 and your friend is in grade 8, it isn't the best time to be romantically involved.
That's a good girl. You're like a lifetime apart, right?
But after high school, we connected again right around the time of her grad, actually. But you know, in my mind there was almost never a doubt. I knew we would be together forever. I just knew it.
Wow. Did she feel to have the same feelings as you?
I think so. I mean, we started going out in May of the year of her grad, and I think we were already, well, I'll call it pre-engaged, within months.
Well,
we didn't have a date yet.
Right. See, and there's the real inside track. There's a real solid foundation, okay, that's there, that I'm really seeing so much of this today. I mean, with my daughters being in their mid-20s and with all the best of intentions, their parents ended up divorced. They were 12 and 16, which there's never a good time for that to happen. And whenever, you know, there are family breakups, it takes time for everybody to readapt and readjust and get back on track again. And that time just gets lost no matter where it goes or what happens. You know, it just is. It is what it is. And as I said earlier, there's so many disconnected families today that I think it's just really so beautiful that you, just so the listeners know, that your children travel with you, which is amazing. There's a lot of teenagers that just want to run and take off. I'm hoping you're not dragging them all by chains. Yeah.
We just had the most amazing family vacation at Christmas time. Was my longest vacation. It was almost 3 weeks for Risa and I. My daughter was with us virtually the whole time. She took a few days off to go to see her best friend in Miami and come back to Orlando. She's 22.
At 22 years old. Well, all you listeners that are out there have 22-year-old daughters. Think about that. Think about hanging out with your mom and your dad. That says a lot. And your son?
And my oldest son works in retail, so he wasn't available to join us until the last week of our vacation. But he hooked up with us the last 6-7 days. And my youngest son was kind of in a quandary and decided to play Solomon and stayed home with his girlfriend for the first half of vacation and met all her family in Christmas and New Year's, and then the two of them came together and spent the second half with us, And it was just a delight. It was just a delight having everybody around.
You know, you're very blessed. But, you know, the thing that I guess that I'm really wanting the listeners to know when we talk about leaving a legacy is, I think, I'm just going to share how I feel. You let me know if you, you know, agree or disagree or what your feelings are. But we're, you know, the guardians. We're their parents, right? So it's like we bring them into the world. They're our little flowers, our little buds, and we really are responsible for blossoming, at least when they're very small. So it's what we introduce them to and what they learn at home. Now, there's a lot of kids out there, and there are a lot of wonderful stories of young children that grow up to be incredible human beings that really went through a lot of turmoil when they were young. But the world's really shifting and really changing today. And I think family is really such a mainstay. There are so many families that are disconnected. And I know you have one daughter and you have two sons. So I'm really very interested, since this is a series all about men, what are the dynamics like with you and your two sons as far as not just only day-to-day events, things that happen, just emotions, feelings, just, you know, life events, how your openness, your communication, share, you know, whatever you'd
I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and the kids know it. I'm not sure that they're quite as predisposed to being that open, and sometimes we've got to take two or three whacks at a subject before we're comfortable with it and get our heads around it. But the one thing they do know is that if Dad, or Mom for that matter, is asking a lot of questions, it's because we love them. And we want to know what's going on, and we want to be able to support them. And I think that comes through in the end. So even if they're annoyed with us once in a while for, like, why are you asking me that, eventually they understand. And when they see, they get a lot of freedom as long as they sort of work within our guidelines. And they've been great at working within the guidelines. So it works out.
Next question I have for you is, times have really changed. What guidelines and boundaries and stories do you use with your children, and how do you deal with resistance when it comes?
Well, let's start with the guidelines. I mean, the guidelines have always been in our family, like many from our generation. I mean, we really, really value education and accomplishment and doing your best. And these are things that we want our kids to do, and by and large, they've been very good at it. They're at everything. They, like, all three of them are very good at what they do, whether they're in school or my oldest one is working now. And that's one thing that I think that they've taken to.
Okay.
We're also strong on respect and serious relationships. I mean, I've used this example with some friends of mine, but, you know, if I'm going to go out there and try to hook up with a girl who's had 100 different partners, right, what's the chance of me being their 101st and last?
Great.
So, you know, what I think that we've tried to teach the kids is that somewhere in life you need to have a life partner. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your first relationship will be your only one. I mean, it worked out sort of for me that way, but it doesn't always work that way. So it may take two or three or four, and you sort of get to know exactly what you want in another person, but at least you're dealing with people who also have genuine intentions and who are looking to connect with somebody else and to learn how to love, learn how to live.
Okay, such a great answer. I have this real mainstay question that keeps coming into my mind all the time. And the question that I would ask you, and then I would ask listeners that are out there to think about answering the same question, and that would be, name three qualities that define you. Qualities or personality characteristics that you would like to be remembered by. If you've got four, throw in an extra one. But
yeah, wow.
I think people
would probably, and I would like it if they thought of me as, well, we'll start from the least important.
Okay.
But let's say somebody who solves problems, somebody who's got the right answers. You can people come to me, whether it's at work, whether it's in community affairs, because I'm involved with baseball and with the school board in the past. And I think people saw me as a resource and someone who was helpful, and I think that's a good thing. That
I would agree with that one.
Thing.
Okay.
Not the most important thing, but I think that's one of probably that's probably number three.
I think problem solving is huge. I think the world's full of problems, and we need more problem solvers for sure.
The second one is on a personal level and a philosophical level. I'm I guess someone who's concerned with justice, and I believe in personal freedom, and I try to live as a free man, and I try to respect other people's freedom. And a little story, like maybe to attach to that. When I was growing up, my aunt, after she had her first child, my mother's sister, she was unable to have more children. So she adopted, over a couple of years, she adopted two more kids. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was easier to and quicker to get kids if you took kids that were sort of out of the mainstream a little bit. That, if for lack of a better word and a little callous, that were in less demand.
Okay.
She ended up adopting two beautiful children who were half black, half white.
Wow.
And these were my cousins, and I loved them dearly.
Nice.
But I didn't like, one looked more white and one looked more black. And when we went through the mall, let's say, or the shopping center near where we lived, the looks that my aunt would get when she was with her child that looked more black, they really revulsed me. Like I very young, I got a sense of justice and injustice and an appreciation for everyone's worth as a human being. And I felt, I guess, from that time that I always had to stick up for individual rights and personal freedom. I think I was six when I decided.
I was going to ask you. Okay. So that's a real life lesson. We're going back a lot of years because we're not in our 20s anymore.
The 1960s. This was the 1960s, civil rights time and stuff like that.
I was going to say, you think about Martin Luther King for sure. You go like that for about, all right, so I think we're on like two. I give you one or two more.
Well, the
like,
third one, I guess the most important one is integrity.
Right. Okay, I love that.
People know that if I tell them something, I'm going to keep my word.
I love that.
People know that, and I think what's changed in the last couple of years, though, is I try to show it more. I think I've always known what I love and who I love, but I'm not sure that I was always so good at showing it. And maybe it was after my father passed away and people talked about what he was like and how everyone loved him and how he showed love to everyone. Everyone was a cousin. Everybody that he knew was somehow my cousin, even if they weren't related to us. Well, he was a friend of the brother-in-law of the cousin of your next-door neighbor.
But
so he became a cousin
that
could stay in our house. You know?
Okay.
But I think the one thing that I've learned more recently is to show it more, to show the people that I love that I'm there for them. And
that's
I try to be.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, no. You know what? That's if I really must say so myself and to anyone who's out there listening and see Victor, of course, is married to the same, you know, person after all these years. And because I am single and it just puts me in situations as a woman to be out there meeting and mingling both socially and in business with men, I would hear myself saying all the time, no matter what, even as I have two young daughters, one who's about to be married and one who's out there waiting for the one, as she claims, as integrity is really always number one. But I think when it comes to legacy, the most important thing that I think of, or even with our children or family, is it's so easy to, you know, do as I say, but what about do as I do? Because, you know, watching role modeling from actions, you know, that's how our kids pick up. That's just like a natural extension. And that's the easiest way. So you can say, a human being can say all kinds of things. They're all just, you know, words and promises unless they're followed through. And that's a really, like, such a huge, huge, big thing. Let me ask you a question. When we talk about legacy, and once again, you think about your children, kind of, I wouldn't say in a word, but maybe in a sentence, when you think about legacy, when you hear them kind of talking about you, let's say fast forward in a little fantasy that there are a bunch of children at their table, you know, and we had since departed, as you spoke about your dad,
What do you think that you'd like to hear them saying about you?
That that they were raised in a house where love was out in the open, and that they felt safe and they felt secure, and they felt like there was a backup system to help them, but that they were encouraged to go out on their own. I mean, I got to tell you, I said it earlier. We're learning things from our kids. I'm learning some stuff from my son every week, and. So, you know, that the fact that we're there for them, but we're also open and we're listening and we're not just, you know, the boss, that isn't what it's about.
You know what? It's so beautiful. When I came up with this idea of this series, it was because, as I said at the beginning, I had been interviewing, you know, woman after woman after woman and researching on women. And I was finally saying, oh, it's enough with women already. You know, there's such incredible men out there that have so much to say. Yeah, well, I love men. I mean, hey, what can I tell you? You know, I'm also getting a little tired of us women, but I think that's real important is... and cute at the same time. It gets a little challenging when you're out there single, dating man after man after man, and you have integrity on the top of your list. And that was one of the main reasons why not only I wanted you to share and the subject of family came up is because there are so many people out there that haven't been as blessed, I'd like to, for lack of another way of explaining it, as you've been to have all this family around you with the best of intentions. Many of us enter into relationships and marriage just like I did, and we wanted that to happen, and it didn't. So us smart ones who get out there and reach out and find people outside our family to be able to be our role models for us to get close to are the blessed ones. But some of us don't even wake up and see the light. So growing up with it is just an amazing thing. I know that we have only 3 minutes left, as I had said to you before. Time goes by real fast. When I first started this show, they were 60 minutes, and we decided to shorten it to 30. And now that I'm doing this series with all these great subjects, believe me, I'd love it to be another half an hour. But I just wanted to know if you could go back and do anything differently. Would there be anything that you would change?
I don't know. I don't like to think about backwards. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go forwards. But I think that there were a few years when the kids were in high school and I was working like a devil that my wife did pretty much all of the children raising. And, I was involved in the bigger decisions. I think I would have enjoyed being involved more. It's too late now, but I think I would have enjoyed being around a little bit
more. That's a real strong message. I think that's
not
a real strong
message. Not taking for granted that everything... I mean, things were going well, by and large, but I think I would have had more fun.
That you see, there you go. That is just amazing. So I think now we're pretty much down to like 2 minutes left. I want to thank you so much for sharing. I know that my, believe this or not, in 2009 we had a high school reunion, and it was just so interesting on Facebook a few months ago when Victor messaged me. I went, wow. Oh, my God, he wasn't at the high school reunion. I was so overwhelmed with so many people. Had you and I have met there, you know, I'm sure we would have had this kind of connection now. But then again, we've been so blessed that we've had it. So
I wish I'd been able to go to it, but there were some – one of our kids was so sick at the time, and we had other priorities, but things have worked out well.
We still have 2014. So I'm hoping
that's right.
To see
I'll be
you there. Okay, great. And so will I. We'll have more stories to tell. So for all you listeners, the term legacy, it refers to something that's passed on, something that we are given down to the next generation. As us being the ancestors and predecessors, we need to think about our families. We need to think about while we're out there, what kind of message we are sending and what we are teaching our children and what we will leave with them once we're gone. And let's think about those. Some of the things that we discussed today. Please do join me in future weeks when we will be tapping on to other subjects. Next week, I am interviewing a leverage coach, and we are going to solely discuss the subject of relationships with women on all different levels, men and women. So, Victor, in the 30 seconds that I have left, I want to thank you so much. Today was really a great big treat and a pleasure for me. I'm glad we had a chance to physically both meet. I hope we'll see each other again by 2014 as I'm off to L.A., hopefully on Sunday. And it's time to get back
Same
home.
Same here. And
yeah,
give Sam a hug.
I will. And just be well. And please do listen to the recording and the show. And if you get brave enough, let your kids listen to it too. And we'll be in touch. We'll talk soon. Thank you again for being a guest on my show. And everybody else, all you listeners that are out there, have an amazing, great week. Everybody stay healthy and well. And I will speak to you all. Looking forward to sharing with you all next Wednesday when I interview my friend David and we talk about relationships with women. So everybody, just have a great week. All my love.